This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and yet let your soul delight itself in abundance.
Thanks, Beth. Father, we pray that as we open your word together, you would open our hearts and show us wonderful things out of your word. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking about spiritual strength, about the Bible saying to be strong and the need to be strong, and looking at strength and how many times in the scripture spiritual strength is needed to fulfill and do all that God's called us to do. Remember, I gave that challenge about for such a time as this, we've been brought to the kingdom, and that there's a need for spiritual strength to be able to do everything that God has called us to do. And so it's amazing, you know, all of the Bible, you know, God's, how many, when you've been called to go to a feast, so think about a feast. You've got an invitation to go to a feast. How many would be pretty happy about that? Yeah, yeah. Our stomach witnesses with that, particularly mine. I love a feast. And there's something about a feast. If you're called to a feast, you get excited about it. It's something to really look forward to. But do you know that God has provided a feast for us? In fact, when you look at the scripture, God, first of all, in Genesis, he creates everything. And he created man and woman. And he's, one of the first things he said, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat. So he's provided for our food, a feast for us. The first thing that he starts to talk about, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat. And there's an invitation to eat. And all of scripture, as you go through it, talks about God providing an absolute feast for us. In fact, Israel, when they were called out of Egypt, one of the things that Moses said to Pharaoh when he said, let my people go, this is in Exodus 5, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Wow, a feast in the wilderness. Well, it's not the place you expect to find a feast. But he says, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Well, that's an exciting invitation. And in fact, Israel was commanded that three times in the year they were to hold these feasts to the Lord. And we know there's the feast of Passover, feast of Pentecost, and the feast of Tabernacles. Three times in the year they were to hold these feasts. And in fact, they were commanded to rejoice at these feasts. Commanded to rejoice. I mean, fair dinkum. You're brought to a feast and you're sitting at this table loaded with food and you've got a miserable face. Sometimes Christians are like that. We're brought to an absolute feast and we've got a miserable face. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We're so worried about our enemies that we can't see what's right in front of us. We can't see what's provided at the table. He's provided a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Don't worry about the enemy, because Jesus has silenced the enemy and the avenger. He has defeated him totally, completely. And it's only as you begin to eat at that table, you're going to realize what Jesus has done. It's not about your work. It's about sitting at his table and eating what he has done for you, believing what he has done for you. And faith will quicken and your face will start to brighten up as you eat. You know, if somebody hasn't eaten for a long time, what happens? They get very weak. In fact, They get open to sickness and disease when you get weak. This scripture that Bev rang up said, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. You have no money, yes. Or come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not good? What is not bread? I've got to read this properly. And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. God's going to tell us what's good. I've got a daughter who's trying to tell me what's good. I like lollies. I like junk food. Sometimes my daughter's right into health food. But it makes me think about there's a fixation in the world today about being healthy. And it's good, you know, to have a healthy body, to exercise right, to eat right, so you've got a healthy body. Well, I like the Bible, it says, physical exercise profits little. But you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Your body's going to get old and die. I'm looking for a new body that will never get old, never die. But you do have to look after, I'm not knocking that, you do have to look after your body. It's like your health is your wealth, really, as we're here. The Bible says in comparison with spiritual things, it's not as important. So here we look at healthy food, healthy exercise, so that you're fit, you're healthy. You're more prone to resist diseases and things like that that come along. But think about, what about a healthy soul? What about a healthy soul? Have you got a healthy soul? Have you been eating right? Have you been eating? Have you been eating? Well, God, he actually says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Okay? Listen carefully, just amazing these words. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Do you know that God has an abundance for us? That's why Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. Do you know, we live in a time when there is so much distraction. You know, there's a concern physically for the junk food that's out there and what it does for people. But what about the junk food that's out there and what it does to people in their souls? There are so many distractions. At the home away from home, I just asked to do a simple sort of exercise, and it's about the fact that God is, all through the Bible, particularly Hebrews, Revelation, today if you will hear his voice, Jesus, sower sowing the seed, the word of God, he said, behold, listen, have I got your attention? He's trying to get people's attention. Hebrews, today, if we will hear his voice, Revelation 1, 2, and 3, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. There's a clarion call coming out. It's like a trumpet blast. Revelation 1, John hears a trumpet sound from heaven. Well, I like the trumpet. It's an instrument that demands attention. And I tell you what, if God is calling to us today, his voice is like a trumpet blast because there are so many distractions around that are getting our attention. The exercise I asked to do, I said, every one of you, just close your eyes right now. Close your eyes. Now, I asked people if there were certain sounds that were to be made, which sound would cause you to open your eyes? If there was a sound to come forth, which sound would cause you to open your eyes? And I just said, with me, I love motorbikes, trail bikes, and if I heard a motorbike engine, I would have to open my eyes to see what kind of a motorbike it was because I'm interested in it. And then I asked, what other kinds of sounds would come forth to get your attention? And others said, well, have it a crying baby. Every mother would open their eyes to hear that crying baby or to see where that baby is that's calling out for help. What about other sounds? There could be a billion other sounds that we hear, and I won't go into them now, but think about that. What would cause you to open your eyes? And I think that's what God's trying to do. You know, Revelation 1, 2, and 3, there's this trumpet blast from heaven trying to get the attention of the churches, trying to tell them what kind of condition they're really in. The Laodicean church, the last one, was in such a terrible condition that they didn't even know they were emancipated. They didn't know that they were wretched, that they were sick, that they were actually starving to death. They actually thought they were right. They actually thought, I'm rich, got everything I need, I'm right. And they didn't know they were actually in a terrible state. They were sick, they were blind, they were emancipated, and God was rebuking them and saying, listen. And you know, right at the end of that, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. You know, that's not just individual, that's the churches. He's knocking on the door of the churches and saying, I'm at the door and I'm knocking. And he said, if you will open, I will come in and what? I will dine with you. I will dine with you. And then it's Revelation 4 that John is told to lift up his eyes. And he had a vision of heaven and he was shown all the things that God was about to do. You're not going to see what God has provided for you until God gets your attention and you turn to see what God's wanting to say to you. That's why it's a trumpet blast. In fact, in the three feasts of Israel, the last feast was called the Feast of Tabernacles. And Feast of Tabernacles, you know what they had to do? They had to go out and get branches of trees, and they had to leave their homes, and they went out together and they built little cubby huts, booths they called them, cubby huts. How many want to build a cubby hut? Long time since you built a cubby hut, Beryl? Quite a while ago. Well, they built these cubby huts, and I think, what a crazy thing to do. What's the issue there? Well, I just believe it's trying to teach them that here we have nothing permanent. They left their permanent houses and they had to get into a place where God could get their attention. Because if you're in a place where you think the things of this world are permanent, you're not going to hear what God says is permanent and eternal. You're not going to hear the values that God has. And so they had to get them out of the places where they were, and they built houses. And obviously, they suddenly realize their dependence on one another as well, fellowship. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together so much, the more as you see the day approach. He's coming back soon. Fellowship one with another. And you know, and part of that Feast of Tabernacles, they had, I think it was on the 10th day, they had what they called the blowing of trumpets. How many days? Do you remember how many days that happened, Tim? The trumpet blowing, actually called it a feast of trumpets. And really what that's speaking about is the word of God going forth, trying to get our attention so that we will look to see what God has provided. We'll look and see the feast that he has provided for us. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. He needs our attention. All right. Having said all that, I just want to go to a passage of scripture in 1 Kings 19. God wants to strengthen you, and we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. Got 2 Kings, okay. 1 Kings 19. Just give you back. Stop on this. This is just Elijah the prophet has had this amazing experience where he's challenged a whole nation, killed 800 false prophets, and brought a revival back to Israel. They've all said, God, he is God, fire of God fell. So this is pretty exciting stuff. And then he's gone out and prayed and said, rain's coming. and he's had the anointing come upon him in such a way that he's able to outrun a horse and chariot with King Ahab on it, outran it. So he's had this amazing experience. But then Ahab's wife found out that he killed all the prophets, and she sent out a decree, I'm going to kill Elijah. And Elijah runs for his life. He gets incredibly discouraged. And we get to 1 Kings 19. I'll just find the 1 Kings 19. So he ran for his life. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it's enough now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. He's pretty low, isn't he? He's pretty discouraged. And then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Arise and eat. You and I are going to need spiritual strength to be able to fulfill what God's called us to do. You, each of us, have a specific calling from God, and he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, David, get up and eat. Get up and eat. Arise and eat. Get up out of your discouragement. Get up out of that disillusionment. Get up out of whatever pit you have fallen in, because you are going to need spiritual strength. Arise and eat. In fact, the angel said it twice. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. We're not going to be able to do what God has called us to do in our own strength. The young men are going to faint and grow utterly weary, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Spiritual strength is needed. And so he arose, he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Man, 40 days and 40 nights, he went on one meal. Now, this has got to be spiritual food, hasn't it? There's got to be spiritual food that we can get a hold of that are going to make us strong in the Lord. Because God commands us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of him. He's commanded us to do it. So what was Joshua's eat food for becoming strong in the Lord and doing all that he was commanded to do? He was to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Many hear, but many do not think about what they're hearing. The devil immediately comes and steals that which they heard. It's not just having heard it that is eating the food. We've got to meditate. That literally means to mutter it to yourself. Chew it. Chew that word. Begin to chew it. Begin to think about it. Because it's food for our souls. You know, God, otherwise what we say is, God, help me. God, do something. Why don't you do something, God? Take my life from me. I'm no better than my father's. We get into self-pity, or we get into anger at God. We either get angry at two ways. We get angry at self. I want to kill me. Angry at God. I want to kill him or kill anybody else who I think is the problem. Both pride. Both pride. And God says, arise and eat. Don't you just love it? I love the way God handles our little tantrums. You know, Jonah says to God, I'm angry enough to die. Right in God's faith. He says, Jonah, are you angry? He says, you're angry enough to die. Take that. And God's not fazed. He knows when we're having a little pity party or a little fit of anger. And he says, arise and eat. There's a table set before you and me, right in the presence of our enemies. Do you want to grow up big and strong? What do we say to our kids? Do you want to grow up big and strong? Eat your Brussels sprouts. Eat your potatoes. Eat your vegetables. You'll be good and strong. Who's thirsty? Who's thirsty? Do we know that we're thirsty? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. I tell you what, they'll be chewing. They'll be eating. But when we're living in a world where there are so many distractions, so many other things that the devil promises will satisfy you, we do live in an awkward time. I believe that's sometimes why God calls people into the wilderness. There's not too many distractions there. He said, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Who's John the Baptist? He was in the wilderness till the day of his appearance. Talk about spiritual strength. Talk about spiritual strength. Man, how long was his ministry? 6 months? And then he died. He got his head cut off. But man, the strength that he had to serve God. Praise God for that. And Jesus, he was into the wilderness and the strength that he had to resist the devil. We need strength to work. What's our work? Then the people came to Jesus and said, what work shall we do to do the works of God? What do you tell them? Believe. Where does believing come from? Chewing the word. Chew it. Read it. Meditate in it. We need strength to work. Let your hands be strong, Zechariah says. You who are hearing the word of God are you hearing the word of God in these days? Let your hands be strong. There's a work of faith that's accredited to each one of us. We have a job to do, but it's a work of faith. And it will only come as you eat. Eat. I mean, well, that's a good job, isn't it? There's your job description. Eat. There's your qualifications. Eat. And it's only limited by your and my hunger and thirst. That's pretty good, isn't it? The only problem we have is the distractions that we all face every day, and we need to make a choice regarding. So there's spiritual strength needed to work. The Bible says, eat. Only believe. What Ezekiel 3, he was told to eat the scroll that came to you. He said, what you find, eat it. And he said, then you're going to be able to speak to others. You're not going to be able to speak to others until you've eaten yourself. You've got nothing to say. You won't have a testimony until you've meditated in this word, eaten this word, thought about this word, and then it'll just come out of you because it becomes a part of you. You've got to feed others, you've got to first of all feed yourself. Are you doing that? Are you eating? 2 Timothy 2:6, Paul said to Timothy, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Now there's a condition that happened to Israel when he brought them out into the wilderness and he said, open wide your mouth. In fact, that's a scripture, Psalm 81 says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And they wouldn't open their mouths to receive what God wanted to give them, his word. But instead, the Bible says they lusted in the wilderness exceedingly. And they said, we want meat. We want what we had in back in Egypt. The leeks and the garlic and the meat. We need that. And they were just crying out to God. And God gave them what they wanted. That's a scary Psalm 106. He gave them what they wanted, Psalm 106. But he sent leanness into their soul. Weakness. That's scary, isn't it? Sometimes we'll cry out to God. If we keep going, he'll give you what you want. I don't know whether you'll want what you get, though. But they got it, and they got leanness in their soul. It means to make thin, to cause, to waste away, to destroy. It means the effect of all this on their souls was similar to the effect on the body when it wastes away because of disease or want of food. Amos, he says that in the last days there will come a strange famine. It won't be a famine of food. It won't be a famine of drink. but it will be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. So what a strange famine. But if you want to eat, you got to meditate in the word, hear the word of the Lord. It's almost like I call it a spiritual anorexia. There's food all around, but you won't touch it. I mean, haven't we got food all around? There is. He brought me to his banqueting table, Song of Solomon. He brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. And what does he say there? He says, eat, my friends. Yes, eat to the full, as much as you want. So here we go. None of us have an excuse. Right here, this isn't just a menu. This is the meal. It's all there. Spiritual strength is needed to work. And here's the last one. And they got, because they rejected it, Israel, they became thin, they became wasted away in their soul. And what all that was left, they wouldn't eat what God wants. You saw the pattern. They just became murmurers. They became complainers. And in the end, they became rejectors of God. And they couldn't enter into the promised land except for a couple of people, and that was, Joshua and Caleb. You know, and what did Caleb say? I love what Caleb said. He said, after 40 years of waiting, 40 years of waiting, but in that waiting, he was feasting on the word. And what did he say? I am as strong this day as the day 40 years ago. I'm as strong to go to battle, to go out and to come back in. He says, I'm as strong this day. How stirring is that? There's a different spirit within him because he had been feasting on the word of God. And he was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And what did he say? Give me this mountain. I'm going to take it, because he had spiritual strength. That stirs me. There's got to come in every one of us, and this is, I come back to you, not only strength to work, but we need strength to war. Ephesians 6, where it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's all about warfare. God has provided a feast for us. He's provided a table before us right in the presence of our enemies. And so Israel said, you've got three feasts. You make sure that you have them and rejoice before the Lord. Tell you what, if you've got a good appetite, you've got a smile on your face if there's food in front of you, and you'll eat well. And so God commanded, eat well. He's provided everything we need. And it was because there was a war coming up. For them to lay hold of all the promises of God, all that he promised them when he spoke to them in Israel. In fact, it's really interesting. When they're in bondage, and Moses said, there's all these great promises for you guys, and God's going to give them to you. He's going to wipe out the enemy, and he's going to give everything over to you. The Bible says they couldn't hear what Moses was saying because of anguish of heart, because of cruel bondage. It was literally they had no spirit within them, no strength, because they're in bondage. Well, God did something about that. He sent a deliverer, Moses. He set them totally free. He brought them through the Red Sea, miraculously wiped out all their enemies, and said, that's what I'm going to continue to do for you. You're right now. Had this incredible joy. And so now they could really sing, and now they could really eat everything that God had prepared for them. In other words, believe it, meditate on it and believe it, because they were going to enter into the promised land. And all they had to deal with was a couple of the giants, a few walled cities, people that were strong armies. That's all they had to deal with, because God was much bigger than all of those things. But there was no strength in them to do that. So they pulled back, and the next generation had to be raised up who would believe the Lord and go in and possess it. Strength for war is needed. I'll give you the scripture to think about, and I'll just tell you a story. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, it's about Saul's son, Jonathan. And I'm just going to tell it because we're running out of time. Saul's son, Jonathan, decides one day, Israel's in an impoverished state. They've been overcome by the Philistines, their enemy. And Jonathan one day says to his armor bearer, let's go over to the camp of these Philistines and see what God will do. Two guys go over to the army of the Philistines. And he says, this is what we'll do. We'll show ourselves to them. And if they say, come up here, we'll know that the Lord's said we can go up and we'll have the victory. Or if we say we'll stay there, if they say stay there and we'll come to you, we'll stay here because that's what the Lord wants. So he does this amazing thing, and the Philistines see them and mock them. Says, oh, look, they've come out of their dens and their caves. The Israelites have come out. And they said, come up here and we'll show you a thing or two. And Jonathan says, right, the Lord's given them into our hands. Praise God. Talk about strength. I bet you he'd been meditating on the word of the Lord and believing that God was an awesome, mighty one. I bet he'd been thinking about all that God did for Israel and realized he's the same God. He hasn't changed today. And he believed it. He was eating it. So he marches up the hill and the Philistines start falling before him. And the armor bearer behind him's wiping it, killing them. And there's this mighty victory and this trembling takes place in the whole camp of the Philistines. And they're fleeing, falling before two guys. And there's, meanwhile, Saul and all the rest of the army of the Israelites are under these trees off to one side, and they're trembling, and their lookout sees something happening. And so Saul gets all religious and starts praying suddenly. And he says, bring the Ark of the Covenant here. Let's pray and seek the Lord to what to do. And meanwhile, there's a tremendous victory going on. He says, well, let's stop and join in the victory. And so what happens, Israelites, the army, they attack the Philistines and they had this huge victory. And then even Israelites that had been taken captive by the enemy joined in the fight. Isn't that good? You want to see Christians that have been taken captive by the enemy join in the fight? And those that were hidden, had run away and hidden out in dens and caves, came out of their dens and caves, and they joined the fight. So there's this amazing victory happening and excitement. And then Saul, King Saul, gets suddenly real religious, and he gets this religious fervor on, and he makes this curse over all people, and he says, cursed is anyone who eats anything today until I've had my revenge on my enemies. My. And he put this curse so no one could eat anything. Jonathan, his own son, never heard this foolish curse. And he's busy just wiping out the enemy, falling before him. And he marches through a forest, and there's honey all over the ground. I don't know whether there was a mass of beehives there. I don't know, but there was honey all over the ground. And Jonathan has his rod and he just sticks it in the honey and puts it to his mouth. And the Bible says his eyes were enlightened. And he has this renewed strength. And he's able to just continue wiping out the enemy. But all of Israel was so famished that they ran out of strength and they couldn't defeat the enemy. And in the end of the day, you know, they ate, you know, meat without shedding the blood properly, and, you know, they broke the law anyway, all because of King Saul's foolish oath. But, you know, God's got strength for you and for me in the middle of the battle. Jesus is our strength. He is our portion. Didn't Jesus say, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He has prepared for us a banqueting table. He has given us his life so that we can have his strength. Do you want his strength? Well, he's given you his life. He is our portion. He's my portion. Well, are you going to eat your portion or not? Arise and eat. Can we stand up, please? You know, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can sit somebody up a table, but you can't force them to eat. And God's saying, eat my friends, eat my beloved ones. And that's going to be you. That's going to be you. Why do you spend your money for that which does not satisfy? Come and eat what is good. God's telling us what's good for our soul so that you'll be strong in the Lord and be able to resist the enemy. You'll be able to do the work that God has called you to do. And his work is easy. His burden is light. You do it with a joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. We're to rejoice at his feet. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that you have opened your word to us. And Lord, open our hearts, shown us wonderful things out of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that comes from your word. And Lord, I pray, put in each one of us a heart that will devour, a heart that will meditate day and night upon your word. That, Lord, we may not just hear it, but Lord, consume it. And be like Jeremiah, who said, your words were found and I ate them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, because I'm called by your name. Lord, there be a revelation of who we are in you, Lord, that your strength literally becomes our strength, that your joy literally becomes our joy, your peace, your health, your provision literally becomes ours. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Let there be an encouragement for each one here, Lord, that there be an opening of that door, that you can come in and sit with us and dine with us, Lord, as we meditate upon your word. Put that desire within each one of us and awaken that desire, Lord, if it's been left dormant, awaken it within each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.